It's 8:32 on The Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. This is our Vents Day segment. Every Wednesday, we open up the phone lines and clear the guest chair, open up the email box, and invite you to be the guest. You tell us your thoughts on a couple of topics in the news. This week's topics, maximum penalties for DUI and housing horror stories. Phone numbers to call, 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Email is jx@jeffnet.org. Last week's wreck on Interstate 5 south of Medford created quite a community discussion. Emergency dispatcher Karen Greenstein died when a car coming the wrong way on the freeway crashed into hers head-on. Once police said Richard Webster Scott of Grants Pass was probably drunk at the time of the crash, the responses were swift. As I read the comment sections of news sites and Facebook, I noticed several people suggesting it was time to change the laws to give the death penalty to drunk drivers who cause wrecks that kill people. Right now, the penalties for drunk driving generally range up to no more than 20 years in either state, although there is the possibility of a second-degree murder charge in California. So the questions, is a stiffer penalty in order for a drunk driving wreck that causes a death? Do other drunk driving penalties need to be stiffened? Is there another approach, as in not stiffer penalties, that might curb DUI cases? 800-838-3760, our phone number on Vents Day. That's anywhere in the listening area. Our Rogue Valley local number, 541-552-6782. Our email address, jx@jeffnet.org. Fair housing is our other topic on this Vents Day. Our earlier segment about students and housing in Ashland is just the latest example of the often uneasy relations between renters and landlords. Most of us had to rent a home from somebody at some time, so here's your chance to vent, either as owner or as renter. What's the worst situation? And you can flip that around. What's the best situation you've ever been part of on either side of the rental equation? Let's get your rental unit horror story or success story. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. Our Rogue Valley local number, 541-552-6782. Our email address, jx@jeffnet.org. Quickly, let's get started with Bill in Medford. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Good morning, Jeff. It's good to see you that you're back, that you're not leaving us forever.
Nope.
Yep, good, good, good. On the drunk driving thing, we've seen that happen time and time again where people get drunk and like driving up the wrong way on the freeway. There's a the statute dealing with murder.
All right, Bill, hang on a second because I want to make sure we get your full thought in here, and we have to take a break. So just hold the line. We'll come back, and we'll talk more with Bill in Medford, and we'll take your phone calls as well as we talk about maximum penalties for DUI and housing horror stories here on Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange. Back with Bill and the rest of your calls in a minute. It's 8:36 on the Jefferson Exchange on Jefferson Public Radio's News and Information Service. Jeffrey Riley back with you. Thank you for listening. This is our Vents Day segment, your chance to vent your spleen politely on topics in the news. This week's topics, what should be the maximum penalties for driving under the influence of intoxicants, particularly when that driving under the influence leads to the death of another person, as is the set of facts we are given by police about last week's wreck in Medford. Our other topic, housing horror stories as renters, either as renter or as landlord. What have you gone through over the years? Share that story with us. Maybe you had a wonderful experience. Share that one, too. Our phone numbers for Vents Day, 800-838-3760, 541-552-6782. Email address, jx@jeffnet.org. Bill in Medford, you still have the floor.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Typically, on a drunk driving charge where someone is killed, the person is prosecuted criminally for negligent homicide, or is generally the what they're prosecuted for. I believe that they should be prosecuted for first-degree murder. The law on first-degree murder we normally think of as intentionally inflicting death upon someone, but there's also a provision in the murder law that talks about, that says that that sets another standard, and that is acting in a way that shows an extreme indifference to human life. So, and it's my belief that when a person gets drunk and gets in a car and drives the wrong way on the freeway, he or she is exhibiting conduct that shows an extreme indifference to human life, and I think it should be prosecuted as first-degree murder.
California can get it to second-degree murder under the Watson murder statute or the Watson murder interpretation, but do you think it can get all the way to first-degree murder?
Well, I think it does fall under the standard, the Oregon criminal standard. As I say, intentional infliction of death is first-degree murder, but people aren't aware very often, very much, it seems like, of the fact that there's an additional basis for first-degree murder, and that is, as I say, intentional, showing an extreme indifference to human life, like driving on the freeway the wrong way, mm-hmm. does that, in my opinion, or shooting down a crowded street, even though you didn't intend to kill that particular person. You're demonstrating an extreme indifference to human life, and those kinds of things should be prosecuted as first-degree murder. Whether or not a jury would buy it is another question, but I think the district attorney prosecuting people should try it.
All right. Thanks for that, Bill. Appreciate it. Good to talk to you. This is Vince Day on the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about maximum penalties for DUI, particularly as relates to a death in an accident. Or housing horror stories. Tell us your housing horror story from either landlord or renter perspective. Or maybe you have a wonderful story you'd like to share with us. We'd like to hear that, too. 800-838-3760, anywhere you can hear us. Our Rogue Valley local number, 541-552-6782. Email jx@jeffnet.org. Dennis in Eugene, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Hi. Good to hear your voice there.
Thanks.
Say, my wife and I have been landlords for about 15 years now. We have rentals, and to be honest with you, we really prefer not to rent to
students,
especially young students. The problem with students is that they never stay very long. Sometimes they don't even make it through the first month. Sometimes it's 2 months or 3 months or whatever. And we have houses. We don't have apartments. And the upkeep on a house is pretty expensive. People don't probably realize how much it costs to keep a nice rental up and keep it looking like the rest of the houses in the neighborhood and being a good neighbor. And so from that standpoint, while we have rented to students, it's not our favorite thing to do, and they have to really show that. The problem with a lot of students also is that they don't have jobs. And they really don't have the money to be able to afford. They might have enough money to afford to be able to rent the house, but then they don't have enough money to be able to pay for heating and water and all the other things that go along with, and they won't keep up the yard, you know, and mm-hmm. that sort of thing. So it becomes problematic.
All right. Go ahead.
No, by the same token, we've had really good renters, too, probably more good ones than bad ones. And the main thing that most people who rent houses, I don't know about apartments, but what people who rent houses are trying to do is to get somebody that's going to be there for a long time. You know, the longer, the better. Our current renter's been with us for about 5 years, and I hope she stays forever, for all I care. That'd be fine. She's a nice renter, and I like her a lot.
Thinks of the place as her own and takes good care of it and all the things you want as a landlord.
Yeah, and we spend a lot of money on the house that she lives in just because we want her to stay there. You know, we keep it up really nice for her, and if she asks for something, we try to get it for her. And so, young kids, especially 18 to 25, they'll destroy a house in nothing flat.
Just as a class of people, or just they haven't learned how to take care of a place yet? Or
yeah, they don't know how. Mm-hmm. They don't, you know, like we had some young teenagers, well, they were juniors and sophomores at college. in one of our houses, and in the middle of the winter, they wouldn't even close the doors. They'd leave the doors open. And so the rain would be running in, going in the doors. They'd leave windows open. I mean, within 3 months, they had pretty much ruined a really nice house, and it was really hard to get them out of there.
Hmm.
You know, I mean, it cost us money to get them out of there. And then once we got rid of them, it cost us a whole bunch of money to fix things because they had left the doors and windows open and plaster was starting to fall off the walls because of the moisture that was getting inside. They didn't have any electricity.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and they had all kinds of good credentials when they came to rent the house.
Right. So ultimately a bad experience, though. Okay, thanks for the perspective, Dennis. Always good to talk to you. This is Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange, your chance to vent your spleen politely on topics in the news. We're talking about housing horror stories, either from a landlord perspective, as Dennis just gave, or a renter's perspective. The starting point for this, our earlier segment about the fact that people just won't rent to students in a lot of cases. They say students need not apply, and they are not required to, under Oregon law anyway, to rent to students, and it's become an issue in the city of Ashland, as it is often an issue in places like Corvallis and Eugene and any other place where there's a college campus and students looking to rent places off campus. So let's talk about the housing experiences you've had, either good or bad, or talk to us about the other topic on the table today, which is DUI penalties. What should be the penalties, in particularly in the case of a DUI caused wreck that causes a death? 800-838-3760 is our phone number anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, it's 541-552-6782. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Here's an email from Joe in Talent who writes, taking advantage of students by landlords is an age-old problem. More often than not, higher move-in rates are charged. Surprise inspections are couched as emergency repairs, resulting in punitive charges for normal wear and tear. Vague contracts making the students liable for anything and everything, regardless of the situation. And the abuse of deposit returns is commonplace, even in residents set up to attract students. Frankly, it seems like a cottage industry and a business practice by these predators, and we need to do more than get students and landlords together to talk. I was involved in the same program when I was in college during the 1970s, and the folks with the money, the landlords, only gave lip service. They have an almost unlimited supply of naive freshman students flowing into colleges desperate to find a place to live and soon find themselves and their parents in costly situations. I am no fan of more layers of government, but in Ashland specifically, we need some sort of oversight and prosecution of offenders and some real protection for our students. That from Joe in Talent. What do you think? What's the proper balance between renter and landlord, particularly when the renter is a student? What additional protections should be offered for the landlords against the abuse of the property? What additional protections should be offered to students because they are students, not necessarily with steady incomes attempting to rent houses? Join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760, 541-552-6782. Email address jx@jeffnet.org. Again, our other topic, DUI penalties. What should the maximums be, particularly where there is a death involved? And let us talk now to Jim in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Yes, if I may, real quick, like, I would like to vent my spleen about the problems you're having there. You keep going off the air for us over here. Very simply, as decisions evidently were made to disperse finances, equipment in areas that were, you know, not what they should have been. As in anything. You understand what I'm saying?
I do, and let me explain to our Grants Pass listeners. Our transmitter got hit by lightning last summer, and so it was destroyed. We put a temporary transmitter in, and just actually acquiring a functioning AM transmitter for that frequency has taken this long. And also, believe me, it's got to do with insurance payments and that sort of thing, too. So that there's
students and housing, one of the big problems is there isn't a universal thing that almost as a student becomes accepted by a college, that part of the paperwork very prominently simply read, you probably were going to need a place to live, make sure that you have a financial statement, somebody to co-sign, whatever. So many of them think, oh, I'm away from mom and pop, I go away, I can just, you know, and they have had no experience with actually making a decision, a financial decision on their own. Mm-hmm. Somebody signed, co-signed for their first car and all this stuff. That's a big problem.
All right. So the responsible party needs to be listed on there somewhere, is what you're saying.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks for that, Jim. Appreciate it. Let us go to Ralph in Mendocino. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day. Housing horror stories and DUI maximum penalties are topics.
Yes. Welcome back, by the by.
Thank you.
And I think the DUI issue is such punishment should be really look at the notion of prevention, because nothing's going to bring back the person who was killed as a result of such poor judgment or error. And, for example, our community lost a good member and a person who was also part of law enforcement from somebody who came down from Eugene. Not only he menaced people on Highway 101 during the car chase thing, since he was pursued by law enforcement, and then he shot this person. And his life story would be of interest, too, because I'm sure that our society bears some culpability for all that happened to him. But my big thing on DUI is how can we impose something that prevents such DUI travesties? And then the other thing is I would like to comment simply the new lady head of General Motors. She was selected so she could take the brunt of the criticism for GM neglecting improvements. There's an excellent film called Class Action of Some Age, and it puts in perspective some of this thing. And thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Ralph. Appreciate it. This is Vince Day on the Jefferson Exchange. We're taking your calls on what you think the maximum sentences should be for driving under the influence, particularly as it relates to a death being caused in an accident caused by the person who is guilty of DUI. We're also talking about housing and renter-landlord relations. Renter and landlord relations. Ashland is the starting point for this because students at Southern Oregon University are finding difficulties in finding people who will rent to students in town, and so they're working with the city to see if there are some ways they can improve things. Let's get your housing horror stories or your housing, this is wonderful, this is a great event sort of story. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area in the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Our email address, jx@jeffnet.org. Here's an email from Sherry in Ashland. As a student renting in Ashland, I had many experiences where landlords would treat me as a second-class renter by not being respectful of my privacy, would not answer calls about repairs, or charge huge fees when I would move out with little explanation on why. And as a student who also works full-time, why should I have to prove myself any more than any other renter? That from Sherry in Ashland. Here's another call from, not that one. That one dropped down. Let's go to Jacob in Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Well, welcome back, Jeffrey. I've got comments on both stories. Regarding renting to teenagers or young students, imagine this. A house costs, apartment costs hundreds of thousands of dollars. Your car costs considerably less, just a fraction. But if you were to hand over your car keys to a teenager, that you see walking by, a random teenager, and say, return this at the end of the week, how likely would you be to do that? And what kind of damages would you anticipate, and what kind of protections would you like to see? Now, regarding drunk driving, you cannot bring back a dead person, who's been killed by a DUI driver. And if you were to go down the prison route, imprisoning someone costs $50,000 to $80,000 a year, depending on the circumstance and security. And if you multiply that by 50 years for a lifetime, and then you take away their work and their contribution to society, that's just, never-ending, a money pit. What I would suggest doing is be more harsh on your initial DUI offenders, including the point where you actually interfere and inconvenience with their life, such as you confiscate their car, you take away their license, and then maybe as an alternative, give them a six-month bus pass or a used bike. You say, this is how you'll get along. But at least you should be able to get by on your own. And if you do drunk biking, you're not going to kill anyone compared to drunk driving.
All right, so really harsh on the first one to try to get the message across with that.
Yeah, even before they do a felony. But I'm saying do something cheap, confiscate their car and use that proceeds to fund DUI education. and then give them a six-month bus pass and a bike or a bicycle, you know, and just say that's how you're going to get lead the rest of your life.
All right. Thanks for that, Jacob. Appreciate it. This is Vince Day on the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about maximum penalties for drunk driving, particularly if that drunk driving causes an accident that causes a death. And we're talking about housing horror stories, about poor landlord and tenant relations. And your perspective, maybe you have a story you'd like to tell from either perspective, landlord or tenant, something that happened to you over the years. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Email address jx@jeffnet.org. I have a list here from Mothers Against Drunk Driving indicating the approximate jail or prison sentences possible in traffic crash deaths caused by a drunk driver. And these are approximate. For California, 0 to 10 years for a death caused in a drunk driving accident. For Oregon, 0 to 20 years. Now, there are extenuating circumstances, so additional charges could be placed. And in California, we did make reference earlier to the Watson murder. It's not a statute specifically, but it's an identification, interpretation of law in which a second-degree murder charge can be placed upon a person if there is a death caused by a drunk driving accident. And it actually states comes back to a Shasta County case from 1979 in which Robert Watson of Redding spent most of his night getting drunk and then drove 84 miles an hour through town, ran through a red light, and killed somebody. So it is for Robert Watson of Redding that the Watson murder not statute again. The word escapes me at the moment, but it is a way of charging people with second-degree murder just in California if, in fact, somebody does die in a wreck caused by a drunk driver. Join us on the exchange with your perspectives. 800-838-3760, 541-552-6782, email address jx@jeffnet.org. Here's John and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Hi. I briefly on both. As to the students and housing, I would think maybe an idea to pursue is the student general fund could be used to underwrite the rentals, just like Section 8 housing.
Mm-hmm.
People who, when they move out of a Section 8 housing lease, if there's damage, that no matter who caused it, the Section 8 housing authority will come in and fund the repair. So the student general fund could be used to underwrite, and in other words, to make students more attractive without using laws to punish landlords for discriminating.
All right, so now you're going to get paid. You know, all right, so now you get paid and that repairs will get made.
Yeah, and as to the drunk driving, something the opposite of affluenza, please. So hold people accountable. Maybe they can't all be held to the same level of accountability, but in this country, people with money and power get to skate, and that has a terribly destructive influence on everybody's attitude. It's just terrible. Some of these, granted, they're extreme stories, but these stories of late of the affluenza, remember, was the young man, I think, in California who was he couldn't be held accountable criminally for the deaths of the people riding with him and the people he crashed into because he was raised not to understand enough the consequences of right acts and wrong acts.
Wow.
It's just terrible what our society has broken down around, that is, money and power.
All right.
Shame on us.
All right. Thanks for that, John. Appreciate it. Let's go to Diana in Talent. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day. We're talking about maximum penalties for DUI when the drunk driving causes a death, and we're also talking about housing. Hi, Diana.
Hi. When my husband was in Sweden about 60 years ago, he said it was the law said that if you are caught driving drunk, you lose your license, period, the first time. Said nobody took a chance. You always had a designated driver and so on, because when you know that it's that strict and that clear, you just don't fool around. And I think that's true, even though, you know, drunkenness can be, alcoholism can be a disease. At the same time, we also need to be really strict about the first offense. I agree with the last caller who commented on that. So that's my take on it.
All right. Thanks very much for that. Appreciate it. We have a couple seconds left here on Vince Day if you'd like to jump in and talk about either DUI or housing. And just to look at the list here, if you're thinking that California and Oregon seem a little low, maybe 10 years if you cause a traffic death driving drunk in California, maybe 20 in Oregon. And again, in California, there's also the Watson murder charge that can go in there as a second-degree murder charge on top of the other charges. Let's compare this with other states, though. Alaska, which is one of the strictest, you can get up to 99 years for driving drunk and causing a death. In Nebraska, up to 50 years. Tennessee, up to 60 years. So the rest of the states tend to run a bit lower, so it is not unusual for our two states to be down where they are. But the fact is that just causing somebody else's death in a drunk driving accident does not necessarily mean you're going to spend anything even close to life in prison. And it's an ongoing discussion. Believe me, I found some editorials out there where the state of New York, for example, was trying to turn the three strikes law onto drunk driving so that your third drunk driving offense would send you away for a long time. Parts of the legislature said, nope, not doing that. And then other people who are saying, look, let's stop talking about penalties and let's talk about ways to improve life enough so that these people don't do this. So it's a discussion that is very much going on and will go on, no doubt, for some more time to come. Thanks for joining us on Vince Day, Hour 2 of the Jefferson Exchange, coming up.